Bibles, we're turning to Ecclesiastes, but it's not the passage we read, but from chapter 12. And I'll just read from the last two verses of chapter 11, Ecclesiastes. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee that the scripture is full of wisdom, and that thou dost guide thy people, thou dost draw people toward thee through the preaching of thy word, the word of the Holy Spirit, the word of the Father, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that thou hast sent prophets before, writing, preaching, and then the apostles kept thy word, and now we have fully the scriptures, fully authoritative, the word of God. So we pray thou would help us as we turn to thy word, that thou would enable us to hear through preaching the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou would save us from our sins and give us everlasting hope to live for thee and to love thee. In the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we were speaking last week, following on from the rioting that there had been, and I know that we don't take our themes from the world and what's going on in the world, but it did bring to the concern of the whole country, the concern for young people. But of course, we were all young once, and some of us are not as young as we were. And the word of God applies to the young and to the old and the way that they work with each other. But what we saw last time in Proverbs was that a child must be brought up to know that there is a God, that God has made us. We give an account to God. And so parents have this great responsibility. We considered a little bit how Britain had such a Christian basis. Our whole constitution, our laws are based on these Ten Commandments. And our constitution is a Christian one. And our principles of government and of law are Christian principles. And we see them sort of done away with, as it were. And so now we live in a very strange type of country. I heard Tony Blair, I think, has just said that he thinks, oh no, it's not broken Britain, it's not a moral decline, it's just a certain section of society, of certain young people, they have this great problems, and that needs to be dealt with. But generally the country is doing very well. Well, we don't believe that that is the case. We believe that generally people have turned away from God. And whatever outward appearance they may have of, yes, many people, our neighbours, for example, not Christians, are very pleasant people in many ways, but they still have this basic problem. And when Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, came later in his life, perhaps, to write this book of Ecclesiastes, he looked back over his life. And we see from a wise man who had made lots of mistakes himself, though he was wise, he could see very much, and that he was then able to teach the young people. And if some of us here are a bit older and a bit despairing of the younger people, we can remember Solomon's good example of he had a real concern for the youth, that they wouldn't make the mistakes that he made, and that they would keep or get on track with God, as it were. So we see him then. Now, you see, we have to face up to something. Well, first of all, is that Solomon looks back and he's prepared to see where he was going wrong. And it was by doing that that he was able to teach the young. And I offer that as a challenge straight away to the older people among us, well, including myself and some even older, that are we prepared to look back over our lives and to admit where we were wrong and to see where we would have, maybe we've been quite blessed despite doing things wrong and sinfully and going our own way apart from God. And God has still, to some extent, blessed us. But will we confess our sins to God and then we can teach others? You see, if we go through with a sort of self-righteous attitude, we've got nothing to teach the young. We've got nothing to teach them. If we can go say to young people, well, I'm very good, you should be like me. No, we need to be people who confess our sins to God, learn by our mistakes, and then can say, well, if I knew, there was a song, I think it's, if I knew, I wish I knew now, I wish I knew what I know now when I was younger. And we should be able to say that though we've done sinful things and things wrong, that we've been humbled before God, that we know that we must give an account to God, and that young people must do the same. And we say, well, look, you could do so much better than we did, so much better than our generation, a generation, you know, I was always amazed at school how we never heard anything about the war. People used it, you see, many of the older generation, they used the war as an excuse to stop believing God. If this horrible thing's happened, we don't need God. You see, that was a very wicked thing to do. And yet they should have said, well, look, God saved us from Hitler. What a good God, what a merciful God he was, that he saved us. Look, now you need to follow this God, lest the worst thing come upon us all. And so we can learn from our mistakes. Now, one of the things we learn straight away in this book is that it's written by a preacher, and he believes in the words of the preacher, the son of David, King Solomon, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. He isn't afraid of preaching, saying there is such a thing as truth to be told to people. Listen, he's got real wisdom. He's got the truth of God. And it needs to be preached, as it says in Romans chapter 10. How shall they hear without a preacher? I won't quote it exactly, I'll just tell you that. It says, how shall they hear without a preacher? Preachers being sent with the word of God. And then faith comes by hearing the truth about God. And this is the burden of the preacher. To say, look, in this world of utter confusion, one's running one way, one's rioting in this direction. The older people, they don't know what to say to the younger people. What's the problem? We need preaching. It's the word of God in preaching that is the answer that is needed. Now, the main dilemma in this book is in verse 3 of the whole book. What profit hath a man of all his labour which he taketh under the sun? Solomon is disenchanted. We think there are people being disillusioned. What's the point of his working? All his labour, he's seen it. One generation passeth away, another generation cometh. The sun rises and goes down. The wind goes. And where does it? And it blows around and around. The rivers run into the sea, and then he sees life, his whole life being like just things going round and round. All things are full of labour. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. And then he sees that there's nothing new under the sun. There's no remembrance of former things. It all goes. And then we read in that passage how he's going to leave all his work. He did all these projects. And he's going to have to leave them to someone. And he says, no, he might leave all his great projects to a fool and they might be ruined. Or he did these great gardens he created. And all sorts of wonderful projects. And they all look like they're going to come to ruin. He said it was all vanity, fleeting, passing. He comes to the conclusion that he hated life. It's very sad, isn't it, when someone's got so much, and yet they hate life. And this all points up this dilemma. What's the point? What's life all about? He comes to the conclusion, the end of chapter 22, that it's good. It does. There's nothing better for a man than he should eat and drink. That he should make his soul enjoy good in his labour. He saw that this was from the hand of God. That the things that he had were good things, and he could enjoy them. But that was it. It wouldn't go. It wasn't the ultimate thing. You know, some people, they have one project after another, and they think they're going to get fulfilled with prosperity. It's the same mind in a lot of people in their success as it is in the poor thief, thinking, if they can get this thing, these things, take this, if I can get this to myself, then I'm gonna be going on, you see. But Solomon did it all pretty well, properly, not everything properly, but most things he did well in a wise way. You could see it was passing, it was fleeting, it was vain. He did see that the things that he has are from God, from the hand of God, and you should live and enjoy what you have and be thankful to God for them. And then there are several more chapters. But this question, what then happens then? All that he's done, and what comes of things? What's the point? It's very encouraging in chapter 11. I'll skip right through to chapter 11. There's lots of interesting thoughts and questions and seeing things as troubled and unfair. And yet, in chapter 11, he says this at the beginning, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. He encourages people in their work, casting their bread upon the waters. We think that of as evangelistic preaching. Many days, you see the reward. We go on telling people about God, telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we don't see much for it perhaps. You think, well, wow, this is... And then maybe very late on you hear something nice, and indeed it's only in heaven where we will see the results of our labours. A good example of this is in chapter 9, verse 13. This is a lovely illustration of how to be faithful through the frustrations of life. It puts it like this. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun. This is chapter 9, verse 13. There was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. So they're able to come up and run against it, to besiege it, and to take it over. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, saved them. Amazing, isn't it? What he did, this poor man, by his wisdom, he saved the city. Somehow, we're not told how exactly, from this great army that was against it. And it says, yet no man remembered that same poor man. begin to think, well, how unfair, this man should have been a national hero. They all forgot about it. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. He says, the words of wise men are heard in quiet, more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. That little illustration just puts it. The truth is that this poor man, this poor city is saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the blood of Christ shed for sinners, his righteousness counted to the believer, a poor sinner against whom it seems like the whole world is in vain and is all worthless and pointless, is saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that to the world, that is despised. That they think that poor man who saved so many by his wisdom, by the blood of Christ, is despised. But it's true. See, what is true is the things of God in Jesus Christ. That is the truth. Now this world, according to the scriptures, progressively gets more and more evil and wicked and ungodly and bases itself on falsehood and lies and deception. But the person who trusts in Jesus Christ will be delivered and will be saved from this vain, pointless seeming, unsteady, frightening at times world where things seem to come to nothing. But we're promised that in the Saviour, when we turn as sinners, you think, well, how could I go to heaven? It's impossible with me. But with God, with Jesus Christ, the Saviour, who came into the world to save sinners, it's far from impossible. It's absolutely promised. And that is the hope that any one of us can have, whether we're young. Oh, to learn these things when you're young, what a benefit it is for the whole life. If you see the vanity of things, the vanity of living just for this world, if you can see it when you were young, right early on, how many people could you help from an early age to deliver them from foolishness, thinking they've got everything in treasures of gold and silver. Solomon had more gold and silver than anyone. He said it was vanity, passing, fleeting. It wouldn't last. He'd have to pass it on to someone who might be a fool. And then he comes down, as elsewhere we read in here, the same thing, the fool or the godly person, and they come to the end, they die. They seem to have been no better off from doing all their good things and all the good things that they've done and produced are all passed on and wasted, like rot and things being eaten by moths and rusting. What futility. For the treasure in heaven is sure and is good. Whether you're a poor, weak person like this little man that's not remembered, he's not given, no one thanked him for anything that he did. If you do things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just the scripture says just to give someone a glass of water. In Jesus' name, it's a good thing. So, just to bring us up to date to where we were, this advice to young people at the end of this chapter. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, neither the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. I know some in their old age find the days, one day after another, very hard. And there's very little pleasure in a day. It's very hard to be thankful to God. Well, you see, you almost think, well, some have left it too late. And God's mercies are marvellous. You know, as long as you're alive, it's not too late to remember your Creator, to come to Him. It's never too late. Yes, the advice is, the best thing is in the days of thy youth. Now we can look back over our lives and say, I wish I'd lived a life more godly, serving God better. I wish I had. I can plead with young people. Young people, don't be a fool like I've been. Live for God from the days of your youth now, before the evil days come. I tell you, those some people I've known who've known God from a younger age, their whole life is a trial and a test perhaps, but they're perhaps more prepared for these evil days that are to come. And they can still, when they have no pleasure in the normal things of life, in old age, they've got a clear remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that it's too late. It's not too late for anybody. It's still the day of salvation now. Well, before we go to our long home, as it's called, now, just to emphasize, as we bring this to a conclusion, I want to emphasize some of the points here. Yes, we may have regrets of previous years. What could we have done if we had, from our youth, served the Lord? But let's use this. Let's come to God now in Jesus Christ. Sometimes, actually, strangely enough, people come to trust in Jesus Christ fully when they're a bit older. And myself wasn't particularly young. And you do think, yes, if I'd have served, if I'd have started to learn the Bible when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15 years old rather than 30 years old, it's so much easier to have learnt it. Wouldn't have got into such bad habits that are harder to break from an early age, develop good discipline and good habits and develop a strong trust from an early age. But then you see some people older, they come to Jesus Christ at an older age and think, a whole life of sin, all forgiven. What a good God. And you can still, at an older age, have a wonderful thankfulness to God for saving you from a life of wickedness, of sin. And when I say wickedness and sin, I don't mean just of thieving and of murdering and of committing adultery, but I mean a life that's been lived for yourself, a life that's not been lived for God with thankfulness to Him. That's a sinful life. It's to be forgiven for all that and to be counted righteous in Jesus Christ. And an old age is marvellous. But we don't say to the young people, well, live a sinful life and then come to Christ at the end of your life, because you don't know. You don't know when you'll be called. You don't know when you'll be taken. You don't know the day, how many days your life is, how many years. To a young person, you say, now, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Now is the day. And to remember. You see, it's easy to forget. It's easy to get caught up in all the things of this world. Solomon, oh, what exciting projects. I'd love to have seen his gardens that he created and his great musical achievements. Marvellous. 1,000 years BC and great marvellous things, creations, and all done in God's name. But it's easy to forget the Creator himself. Do you know our troubles and trials sometimes when we get to a low point in life, you think, I actually, praise God for some troubles and trials that remind us, we just hope that people's trials and troubles and difficulties and pains remind them that they can cry out to God, Lord, have mercy on me, save me and help me. Remember now thy Creator in the day. It's harder for the youth in a way. They're full of energy. They're strong. They haven't got any aches and pains. They think their whole life is so long ahead of them that they've got so many opportunities, so many things to do, so many interests, so many friends. Their whole life they don't even know it. If they're not remembering their Creator, they are living a foolish life and a very dangerous life. Children are taken at an early age. People are taken in their middle age. And if they're not living for God, if they're not living forgiven for their sins by Jesus Christ, then they're living the most dangerous life. Facing God's judgment without a righteousness, they will be condemned forever and ever. So we plead with them, remember now thy Creator. He's made you, he's your Creator. Remember him in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not. Well, this is some of the preaching of King Solomon, the wisest man other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says these things, and one greater than Solomon, he says the same things. The Lord Jesus Christ says, if you trust in him, if you follow him, your life is like a house built on a rock. And the winds and the rains come and that house will stand. The world may despise you and say, what a fool! But in Jesus Christ you are sure and you have a good hope. Some of our friends aren't with us today. They've gone ahead to be with God forever. Prepared in Jesus Christ to be with him in the glory. We long to be there too. And to know that this life is one of vanity. Yeah, I don't mean vanity as in the makeup department. I mean vanity as it's passing away. It's all in vain. All that you do. As our friend Raymond said before, he said, we brought nothing into this world and it's sure you can take nothing from it. But your soul will be required of you. And in Jesus Christ, you can be sure, absolutely sure, that when he appears, if you're trusting upon him alone, you say, I'm an unprofitable servant, I've done nothing good, but here say, well done, good and faithful servant. It's two. This is God's grace. It's amazing grace towards sinners. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that thou would grant us true repentance, to be sorry, Lord, where we put our trust in vain things, passing things of this world. Lord, we thank thee that we can be thankful for things of this life, but without thee, we can do nothing, and all is in vain and passing. We pray, Lord, for the elderly people that we know, that they may repent of a long life living without God, that they may see that Jesus Christ died for sinners and can be trusted to save. And Lord, we pray that thou would give us true thankfulness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We may learn to love him, that we may learn to follow thy commandments. Lord, that this short time that we have, we may learn to remember Thee, our Creator, and that we may live according to Thy commandments. Lord, we pray that Thou would give us good things to do with our time, that we may not live in vanity, but live for Thy glory. We pray for the young people, children and grandchildren and cousins and nephews and nieces and those known to us, our neighbours, who live just for this world. Lord, have mercy upon them. Teach them now to know and remember their Creator in the days of their youth. And Lord, may thou raise up a whole generation saved out of the futility and sinfulness of this world, and who are able to live to Thy glory. Lord, we pray Thou will come down, rend the heavens and come down, and have mercy, we pray, to Thy glory. In the Lord Jesus' name, Amen.